On this wondrous Lord's Day, Day of Resurrection, we welcome you into worship. We do so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women,
"Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'"
So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Thus ends the reading of Matthew 28, 1 through 8.
This is the good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah!
This is the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out.
Hallelujah!
This is the good news. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God.
Hallelujah!
Christ is our peace, the indestructible peace we now share with each other.
Hallelujah!
A hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Come and pray with me as we prepare to hear God's word this morning. Father in heaven, I just ask that you will surround Pastor Jim with your power and your presence. Give him this the authority to speak your words and help us to understand what we need to learn from him today. Father, just protect him as he speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This morning, we interrupt the regular reporting of the coronavirus with breaking news from Jerusalem. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that if you believe in him, you shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, this is the most incredible story. This is the biggest game changer, I think, in the history of the world. Jesus died, but he also rose again. It's really hard for me to imagine, and we're actually recording this on Saturday, and I'm thinking about those disciples during that Saturday, from Friday night till Sunday morning, what that was like for them, the despair that they had among them and among the rest of the followers of Jesus. All the dreams and aspirations that they had held now seemed buried with him in the tomb. It was really a very dark time and place for them. But you know, for all of us, sometimes it is in our darkest moments that we truly begin to realize how much we need to be saved. We often have this sense that the farther we sink, the more we're out of God's reach. We cry out, supposing that our shouts will merely echo in the dark. But as a friend of mine wrote in her blog this week, at that point, we are mercifully mistaken. I just really love that phrase. Oftentimes, we are mercifully mistaken. In the darkest times and in any darkness, God is there. And it is his desire to bring us into the light. And this is the good news that I get to share with you today. Listen as I read from Philippians 3, beginning at verse 9. To be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that's where we'll end our reading of God's word this morning. The first phrase I want to lift out of this passage is in verse 9. Being found in Christ. Being found in Christ. Imagine awakening tomorrow morning, turning to the news and hearing, COVID-19 is gone. We're giving the all clear for everyone to go on with life as normal. You can go out shopping, you can go back to work, you can hang out with your family and friends. And if we heard that news, I think we'd all be saying, really? That sounds unbelievable. How could I suddenly have such privilege? And I set that stage for this thought. How in God's wide earth can we have such privilege as to be found in Christ? We awaken this morning to find ourselves in a holy place we don't deserve, in a holy place we cannot earn for ourselves, in a holy place where we don't have enough resources to ever attain what's being given to us. So we arrive in this place being found in Christ only through righteousness which is not our own. Now, I want to pause at that point and just think a little bit about this word righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous? When we think about biblical definitions, we are talking about finding ourselves in a right relationship with God. Do you know that prior to the events of the New Testament, there were only two people in the entire history of the world who could ever actually, realistically, truly proclaim that they were righteous? And who were those two people? They were Adam and Eve in the garden before they chose to sin. Nobody else since then has been righteous. Oh, you look through the Old Testament, a lot of people who made some really good efforts at it. They tried really hard. They were pretty good folks. People like Abram and Moses and David and Elijah. But none of them were completely righteous. And you turn to the New Testament, you find out the Pharisees, among them Paul, who wrote this letter to the Philippians, were people who tried really, really hard as well to be righteous. Now, one of the benefits you have in listening to this on a recording is you could actually stop this and go back and read the first 8 verses of this chapter, because in this chapter, you're going to find out that Paul says, I tried and I tried and I tried, but to put it bluntly, he didn't make it. It would be like us trying to say, you know, I think I'm a little more righteous than that guy who lives down the block. I'm a little more righteous than that lady with whom I work. But a little more righteous is not totally righteous. In fact, it isn't righteous. That would be like tantamount to saying, I think that I am unendangered by the COVID-19 virus because nobody in my neighborhood has yet been tested positive, and I isolate myself and I do wash my hands several times a day. To be blunt, that doesn't make us immune. There are some folks who have more immunity and some who will not get as sick as others will if they do get it. But the reality is we could all get COVID, and some of the folks around the world, unexpected folks who've come down with it, makes us see how clear that is. So similarly, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, Paul writes this, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. So just to make that clear, did you catch that? No one. We simply are not and cannot make ourselves righteous. God's the only one who can do that. And he accomplished that through the death of Jesus on the cross. Isaiah spoke prophetically about this in the Old Testament days in his 53rd chapter, verses 4 and 5. And you might also want to go to that passage and read a little more of it. But listen to what he wrote. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. We've been made right with God simply and only because Jesus died in our place on the cross. And when we come to understand and put our faith in this, we awaken to this new reality that we are in Christ. Just more than incredible. This is amazing news. So Paul goes on to write in verse 10, I want to know Christ. The verb he uses for to know in this place is not simply that of accumulation of facts. Paul had really tried that part in his life already, and again, if you look at the rest of the passage and you look at some of the other things of his life, you see that he had gotten to know a whole lot about Christ, enough that it really made him angry that Jesus was in the world and saying that he was God and all that, and he determined that he would want to arrest and kill all the followers of Jesus that he could find. But he was mistaken in that knowledge until the day he met Jesus. And then he got new knowledge, knowledge that Jesus really was who he said he was. And he began to experience Jesus Christ in a very unique way, Jesus showed himself to Paul so that Paul knew Jesus and not just knew about Jesus. And he determined to make it the goal of the rest of his life to know Jesus better and better. As we look down into the passage, we see that there are four factors of this knowing that he details in verses 10 and 11. Number one, to know the power of his resurrection. Now it is Easter morning, and we think back to that Easter morning a long time ago, and unexplainably powerful things happened that morning. A dead man came back to life. A heavy stone was mysteriously rolled back uphill to open the tomb. The soldiers who were set there, tough soldiers to guard this, were so frightened that they ran away. The world was completely and forever changed that day. But this was not something that simply happened to Jesus that morning. This is the same power that transforms our lives and gives us hope and the promises of so much more to come. So, when I'm tempted by sin, I want to know the power of the resurrection. When I'm discouraged by some of the events of life in general, I want to know the power of the resurrection. When I'm anxious about COVID-19, I want to know the power of the resurrection. And when I come to die, I want to know the power of the resurrection. This is a power that completely changes life for us. Number two, to know a participation in his suffering. Paul talks about this at several points in his epistles, and if you turn just a couple of pages to Colossians 1:24, you find a very similar phrasing where he says, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." And it's not that we literally share in the passion and death of Christ being taken back 2,000 years and dying on the cross, bleeding with him and all of that. But there really is for us a Jesus kind of suffering in dying to self, in dying to sin, in saying, I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for Jesus. And sometimes we may also be called to suffer for the sake of Christ and his cause in this world. I read this really neat statement a couple weeks ago, and I've been saving it for today. I just wanted to say this one. There is no crown without a cross, but there is no cross without a crown. Let me repeat that. There is no crown without a cross, but there is no cross without a crown. Sometimes we too must suffer in order to receive the glory that Christ has promised with him. But when we are joined with Christ in his suffering, glory is guaranteed. Number three, to know him in his death. Our annual celebration of Holy Week is a wonderful time to reflect once again on all of what Christ went through for us. We remember the beating. We remember the mocking. We remember that effort, almost superhuman, of needing to carry that cross up the hill to Calvary. We remember the nails. We remember the pain, the rejection by the Father. And we remember that he did this just for us. Number four, to know him in his resurrection. On Monday night, Linda and I watched again that video that we had provided for you of Lazarus being raised from the dead. I was moved to tears by his portrayal of what it meant to return to life, to be resurrected. As we rise from sin, from death in that way, by the power of Christ, from that sin in our lives, I long that we all celebrate a resurrection to life. Gratefulness, even giddiness, maybe even pinching ourselves just to make sure that it's true. When we know Christ in his resurrection, we also come to live in a whole new way. So Paul goes on in verse 12, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So if it hasn't dawned on you already, get this very clear in your mind this morning. Jesus has taken hold of you with very great purpose. He wants to restore you to life and vitality, both now and eternally. He wants you to live with purpose, to glorify and serve him here on earth and someday in heaven. And he wants to give you the greatest prize of all, eternal life in heaven. Verse 14 of our passage, it's in part now, but it will be complete when life here is over. So, let's awaken on this day to be found in Christ, having a righteousness which is not our own, but which is the gift of God. Let us forget what is past and strain toward that life that is ahead. May we rejoice in being found in Christ, and may Christ be found in us. Christ is risen. Oh, he is risen indeed. Let's pray together. Father, today we thank you for this news that we can share together, this good news which interrupts human history. Because it is for us the turning point of history. It's the time when all the promises that you made to sinful humanity were brought to fulfillment in that death and that resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, Father, we would grieve for a moment at least in recognizing that it was because of our sin that Jesus died. But we also know that this was something that didn't just happen to him, but something that he chose to do because you loved us so much. So Jesus came into the world. He lived among us. He became one of us. He died for us. And how we are grieved and yet also rejoice in that reality. But then we move on to this story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of how in great power the stone was rolled away and he burst forth from that tomb to bring us life anew, life eternal. And what a privilege then it is for us on this day to be found in Christ. To have a righteousness which is not our own. Oh, we thank you for that, God. We are so grateful for that because we recognize that we could never do anything to make ourselves good enough for you. But what Jesus did in dying on the cross made us perfect and restored us completely to the image of God in which you created us to be. And by that resurrection, we are given new life. The old has gone, the new has come, and we are made new creations. Found in Christ. Oh, how amazing. And God, we are praying that you would help us throughout our lives to do all we can to know Jesus Christ. Not simply to know about him, but to know him. To let your Spirit live in our hearts so that every day we may be those who can live in this joy that we are in Christ. What joy we have, joy that overflows from our hearts and into life around us, joy that even though we are not together in worship today, a joy which is contagious and which fills our homes, a joy which will be present with us every day through this week. We rejoice, we sing together, hallelujah. And Lord, in the midst of whatever each of us may be facing this week, we pray that that joy may be the overwhelming thought for us. That even as we may be afraid of COVID-19, even as we may be concerned about what this has done to our finances, even as we may be dealing with other issues that are present in our lives, in our jobs, in our family, among our friends, we know that we have a beyond in perspective as well. that same power of the resurrection which brought Jesus Christ back to life gives us life for each day. And we do not need to live in fear. We do not need to worry about the future. We need only to trust Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection which renews and restores our lives. So God, our Father, we thank you for Jesus, your Son. And we thank you for all that he has accomplished for us. He is our reason for living. He is our reason for serving. He is our reason for joy. And he is our way to heaven. All these benefits are ours because of what he accomplished by dying and rising again. Hallelujah. He is risen. He is risen indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.
In response to the message today, we're going to declare the words from Galatians 2, verse 20. If you have that memorized, I encourage you to say it with us.
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Brothers and sisters, today we have been found in Christ. We have a righteousness which is not our own, but is God's gift to us. What joy, what unsurpassable joy that brings. So live into this week with that joy in your heart, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit always be with all of you. Amen.